DW Africa Link. Wherever you're listening to us from, this is DW's Africa Link program. My name is Isaac Mugabe.
And I am Mimi Mefo. Thanking you for joining us live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany.
Coming up on the program, Congolese warlord Bosco Ntaganda, also known as the Terminator, is sentenced for war crimes that include murder, rape, and sexual slavery.
Mr. Ntaganda, in the particular circumstances of this case, as a result of the highest individual sentence, the overall sentence imposed on you shall therefore be 30 years of imprisonment.
And the government in Liberia struggles to keep the country's economy intact. Many ordinary Liberians are not able to afford basic commodities.
If there is a film festival and the story you are telling is good enough and you get lucky to be selected in that festival, you can have the opportunity to have your people see your movie.
Well, that was about Cameroonians who are taking a look at making their movies. These are some of the stories that we've lined up for you, but first, the news in brief.
DW News. I'm Kai Dambach with the DW News. The International Criminal Court has sentenced former Congolese rebel chief Bosco Ntaganda for crimes against humanity committed under him in 2002 and 2003.
Mr. Ntaganda, in the particular circumstances of this case, as a result of the highest individual sentence and the statutorily mandated maximum specified term of imprisonment for the joint sentence being the same, no further discretion is given to the chamber in the determination of the overall joint sentence. The overall sentence imposed on you shall therefore be 30 years of imprisonment.
Ntaganda has 30 days to appeal the sentence. German airline Lufthansa has canceled 1,300 flights after cabin crew started a 48-hour strike on Thursday. The crew is striking for better pay and better working conditions, according to the flight attendants union.
The strikes, which unfortunately became necessary, are meant to push through our demands, some of them made years ago with Lufthansa. There are bonuses, which have not been increased since the 1990s. Our beginner colleagues earn three-digit net salaries in the winter, and this is at a company with earnings in the billions. We have to enforce improvements.
Da müssen wir Verbesserungen durchsetzen.
The Egyptian Foreign Ministry said Thursday that talks between Egypt, Ethiopia, and Sudan on the Grand Renaissance Dam project have produced positive results. The countries met in the United States to discuss a timetable for the project to continue. An agreement for the project is expected to come in mid-January. This news comes to you from Deutsche Welle, Germany's international public broadcaster. South Korea has deported two North Koreans who are accused of murdering 16 fishermen after they fled their homeland. South Korean authorities concluded that the two men fled after they killed their 16 colleagues on a boat. The men were extradited to North Korea via the truce village of Panmunjom. Vietnamese and UK police confirmed that all 39 people who died in a truck last month in Britain were Vietnamese. After the dead were identified, the victims' families were notified. The driver of the truck has been charged with 39 counts of manslaughter and conspiracy to participate in human trafficking. The deputy leader of a banned opposition party in Cambodia was arrested in Malaysia on Thursday. Musakua, who is the vice president of the Cambodia National Rescue Party, was detained by officials after she arrived at the Kuala Lumpur airport. Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad said he does not want to interfere with other Southeast Asian countries' internal difficulties.
Our principle in ASEAN in particular and generally is that we don't interfere in the internal affairs of other countries. We don't want them to use Malaysia as a base for struggle in other countries.
For more news and information, please visit our website at dw.com. I'm Kai Dambach.
And you're listening to Africa Link. We are live, coming to you live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany.
And my name is Isaac Mugabe. You can also contribute to this program by going to our Facebook page, DW Africa.
The International Criminal Court has sentenced a Congolese warlord, Bosco Ntaganda, known as the Terminator, to 30 years imprisonment after he was convicted of crimes including murder, rape, and sexual slavery.
The sentence was the highest ever passed by the global court. Bosco Ntaganda was found guilty in July of 18 counts of war crimes and crimes against humanity for his role in atrocities in a bloody ethnic conflict in the mineral-rich region of Congo between 2002 and 2003. Let's hear the presiding judge, Robert Fremieux, passing the sentence.
Mr. Ntaganda, please rise. For rape of civilians as a crime against humanity and as a war crime, 28 years. For murder and attempted murder as a crime against humanity and as a war crime, 30 years. For persecution as a crime against humanity, 30 years of imprisonment. Mr. Ntaganda, in the particular circumstances of this case, as a result of the highest individual sentence and the statutorily mandated maximum specified term of imprisonment for the joint sentence being the same, the overall sentence imposed on you shall therefore be 30 years of imprisonment.
That was the presiding judge at the ICC. It should be recalled that Ntaganda surrendered to the U.S. embassy in the Rwandan capital Kigali in 2013 after having eluded capture for 7 years. Now, we have some of your comments that you've been sending in, Mimi, don't we?
And certainly we have Klaus Machete, who says that let the ICC also try to find out who sponsors the conflict and coups in French Africa especially and bring them to justice. Because he says that Africans are suffering a lot.
Well, Abubakar Mohamed Massoud thinks that other former world leaders like former US President George W. Bush should also answer for what he perceives as crimes against humanity. He says innocent people lost their lives, but why does the ICC summon him? Why? Because he thinks he's from America. If he was from Africa, I'm sure he would have been sentenced 10 years ago for allowing the killing of millions in Iraq for nothing.
And according to Socket 2 Mark 2, he says that the ICC should start from the time of slavery in Africa. They must prosecute their own for atrocities in Africa before starting to prosecute their own as well. Thank you so much for your comments. Keep them coming in.
Now, to Cameroon, a West African country with very few cinemas. Most of them have closed down in recent years because people prefer to watch cable TV, making life harder for filmmakers deprived of their local market.
No, but it hasn't completely stopped directors from going out on locations and rolling the cameras. This report by Blaise Eyong is now presented by Anna Clever.
Action!
The cameras are rolling in Cameroon. Every month, several low-budget movies are made by independent filmmakers here.
And happy graduation to all of you.
But there's a problem. There aren't distribution companies or even movie theatres. Filmmakers like director Kanye Kwai are forced to find other ways to show off their work. Some raise funds by holding exclusive premieres for friends and family, or they get lucky.
If there is a film festival and the story you are telling is good enough and you get lucky to be selected in that festival, you can have the opportunity to have your people see your movie. Or if you are, for some reason, so powerful that you can have a television buy your movie.
Most films have a local theme, such as the recent Saving Bango, which portrays the struggles of a Cameroonian family. But in spite of all the hard work, few here are able to watch the result. Damaris Ndam has starred in more than 10 films, but she's still struggling to be seen.
You're normally expecting someone to say, hello, I've watched your movie, and, you know, and it feels frustrating sometimes when you don't get that. But I don't put that first. My number one reason for doing what I do is the passion for the art. I love what I do.
A super peak. Come on, Mel.
Even though they haven't found much success on the domestic market, Cameroonian films have done well internationally. Many have won awards and made it to festivals around the world. But it hardly pays the bills. So most filmmakers like Kanye do other work to survive. But he could never give up his true love.
When the passion is what drives you, when the enthusiasm is what drives you, it becomes very difficult for a filmmaker in Cameroon to want to do something else, because you feel like filmmaking is who you are.
While premieres like this offer some glitz and glamour and an opportunity to watch the movies, it's out on the streets that these film crews get their real buzz.
And of course, that is Anna Clever there presenting that report by Blaise Eyong from Cameroon. Isaac, we see the movie industry is kind of emerging in Cameroon, which is not what prevailed some months or some years ago.
Exactly. And as we had in that report, you know, the movie makers or filmmakers are trying hard to make their movies. But in a country where you have few cinema goers, it's really challenging coming up with a product, but no one to view it. So they're left at the mercy of film festivals to make sure that, or to have a chance of their movies to be screened.
Yeah,
that's quite
course.
A challenge, isn't
Certainly,
it?
Certainly, because we also have many Cameroonian actors doing collab with Nigerian or other African actors just because they want this visibility and to be accepted as well, whereas we've got many actors and actresses in the country. Now to Liberia, where the country is facing an unprecedented economic downturn that is inching towards political and social crisis if urgent measures are not put in place to mitigate the fallouts.
Ordinary Liberians are struggling to make ends meet as prices for basic commodities continue to soar high. Liberia is potentially a rich country, and yet it suffers from underdevelopment and is one of the poorest countries in the world. But why? A question I put to our own correspondent in Monrovia, Evelyn Pade.
Over the years, the issue about fighting corruption, not just this government, but many past governments, they have struggled with the issue about transparency, accountability, and so this has really affected the country. The fight against corruption has been far from over. People steal, government officials steal, people do not account for public funds, and when it gets to court, it's fought forever, and there's no logical conclusion about, you know, those corruption cases at most time.
Evelyn, the government has come up with austerity measures like cutting on its expenditure, salary harmonization, high tax regime whereby it has increased taxes on goods and services. What are people saying about these measures? Is it the answer to saving the economy?
Many will say it's hurting civil servants. Yes, it's true that the cut or the reduction is across all governments, officials from the director down to minister, deputy minister, assistant minister. But those who are feeling the brunt of what is happening of the austerity measure are civil servants. Internationally, it's often said that you cannot cut civil servants' pay. Okay. The austerity measures to reduce salaries, to harmonize, to ensure that everyone is on the same path. And yet, the salary is still not coming in time.
Rice is a staple food in Liberia, but 90% of it is imported, leaving the country very vulnerable to food shortages. Doesn't this explain the reason why a large percentage of children under the age of 5 are considered malnourished?
Yes, that is correct. Over half of Liberia's population live below $1 a day. The country being heavily dependent on the importation of rice, which is the staple food, it is saddening to know that even with the rice that we eat, many cannot afford. So according to UNICEF, over 30% of Liberian children under the age 5 are malnourished.
I was speaking to our own correspondent, Evelyn Pade, in Monrovia. Now, if I may put it to you, Mimi, I think some Liberians thought they should give time to the new president, former football star George Weah, but it seems like they're running out of patience.
Yeah, certainly we can see that the new government, he needs a lot to do as far as improving the living conditions of Liberia is concerned. He has a lot to do, but he should be given time, of course. I think that just a single mandate is not enough to be able to achieve all of these objectives.
Yeah, we heard from our correspondent there saying that austerity measures are not working in favor of the civil servants. Tell us what you think, whether your governments are really doing well to cut down on prices of basic commodities by going to our Facebook page, DW Africa.
And you're listening to DW's Africa Link. Once again, I am Mimi Mefu.
And my name is Isaac Mugabe. I'm broadcasting live this show on our Facebook page, W Africa. At this moment, let me shout out to those following us on our platform, your platform, DW Africa. Muno Genesis says he's listening to us from all the way Abakwa Town. That could be Nigeria or somewhere in Cameroon. I stand to be corrected.
That is
here.
Cameroon.
That's Cameroon. Thanks, Bamenda. Indeed. That's Bamenda. You know the place better than I. Abani Ebb says, if Joshua is very serious, he should be flying commercial like Magufuli. Umba Rubuma says, listen to us live from Angola. Alexander Benyui, he is following us from Washington, D.C. Hello, Washington. Mejang Jesse, he says he's following us from the UAE. That's the United Arab Emirates, and many more. We shall greet you as the show progresses.
And we are sure that they should also be part of the debate. We have a lot of topics for today. Now, coming up in the next 15 minutes, in some parts of troubled Anglophone Cameroon, community schools have replaced government institutions. What do parents think about this?
Well, the community school we want to see, I'm so.
This community schools, we like it. Most of our male children who had reached primary 6 have been home now for 3 years. Most of them are tempted to join the armed militia groups.
Well, before we come to that, dozens of people are feared still missing after an ambush on workers near a Canadian-owned mine in Burkina Faso that killed at least 37 and wounded 60 in the worst such attacks in the West African nation for years.
The assailants' identity were unclear, but Burkina Faso is battling to combat surging Islamist violence in the remote eastern and northern scrubland areas. Michael Oti has more.
The convoy transporting employees of Canadian Gold Mining Company was attacked in the eastern part of Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso is still a haven for Islamist terrorists, despite the putting in place of a joint task force to counter terrorism in the country and other West African nations. Speaking to DW, Richard Tiene, a journalist working with Radar Info Burkina, says the attacks come from within and without.
C'est pas seulement des gens qui viennent du Mali.
The worst part of it is some of the attacks are perpetrated by the Burkinabes against their own people. Inasmuch as we have jihadists from neighboring Mali coming in to carry out attacks, we also have armed groups attacking nationals and non-nationals. It all started after the fall of Blaise Compaoré and after the election of Rochemark Christian Kabore. Things have moved from bad to worse. Terrorists have succeeded to divide the people.
But 5 years ago, an institutional framework to coordinate security matters, known as G5 Sahel in West Africa, was formed. But the military in Burkina Faso is still battling to contain violence that spilled over the border from neighboring Mali. Tiani says the joint force is not effective.
En tant que journaliste, moi je pense que le G5 Sahel n'est pas encore prêt.
I do not think G5 Sahel is ready. I am aware Germany has offered to help. The subject was on the table when Angela Merkel visited Ouagadougou, but I think there is more talk than action. Even with the French military presence in the region, attacks have continued unabated.
Aujourd'hui, de plus en plus d'Africains.
West African leaders have announced a billion-dollar plan starting next year to roll back jihadism. But Tieni thinks that the Burkinabe military needs more than funding.
Nos armées sont sous-équipées, pas préparées aux attaques terroristes.
It is obvious our army is understaffed. In Burkina Faso, the army had not prepared enough for such regular attacks. So the terrorists are armed with sophisticated weapons. Of course, funding is important, but if African leadership fails to understand that developing rural communities is important, nothing will change.
La population africaine doit penser au développement de certaines zones défavorisées.
More than 630 people have died in regular attacks in Burkina Faso since 2005 after Islamists spread across the border from Mali.
Michael Oti, they're reporting. Now, we have a lot of reactions, Isaac, on our Facebook page, DW Africa.
To begin with, Inji Kenneth Nso says, why were the workers attacked to start with? There has to be a reason. Let's start with that if we have to prevent subsequent attacks from reoccurring.
And according to El Ahadji Ahmed, he says that benefits sharing issues is cause of attacks, inclusive or local, or including local communities and planning, and transparent benefits sharing would solve the problem. In all, give back to the community through good corporate social responsibility programs.
Someone calling themselves Max Manislea says nothing can justify death. If they feel oppressed or by the miners, let them rise up and get rid of their government.
And Roderick shares a similar view. He's Roderick Mulange. He says that these attacks would end if local benefits from natural resources. That is simply what the journalist was saying as well in the report there.
Many thanks for your comments. Keep the debate, you know, as usual on our Facebook page, DW Africa.
Now, we...
Speaking out.
On to something else. As we announced earlier, the tides have been changing in some parts of Cameroon's restive regions.
In the English-speaking northwest, like the southwest, children have been staying away from school since 2016, when the Anglophone crisis started. Recently, armed militia groups calling themselves Ambazonian Fighters in Bold Vision decided that children should go to school, but not those run by the Cameroonian government.
Now, the area's separatist leader, known as General Aruke, has now set up community schools and mandated mission schools as well to open their doors to children. From Bamenda, Cameroon, Jean-Marie Ngonso reports that parents are happy to see that their kids are finally back to school again.
Today, we're going to be looking at the body parts of a human being, isn't it?
Yes, madam.
I am in one of the community primary schools in Boyo Division, run by qualified grade 1 teachers. Not even a single government teacher teaches here. All subjects are being taught at the school except French. And parents have the obligation to contribute money for the payment of these teachers each term. Parents like Tang Anastasia and Tawa Nelson say the move is commendable.
Well, the community school we una di siam so.
This community schools, we like it. Most of our male children who had reached primary 6 have been home now for 3 years. Most of them are tempted to join the armed militia groups. Our girls have grown at home and now have breasts, and some have become mothers already. We thank God for the coming of these community schools. Kids are now occupied. Education is the only thing you can give a child.
Education are the only best thing we can give you for life.
I made up my mind to send my children to what we call today non-state schools, or what we equally call community schools, because my kids, they need education. And we all know education empower our leadership skills in a society. I'm almost going. So if I don't educate my children, and then who is going to continue with the governance of the family?
Over 10 community schools, including mission schools, exist in at least 5 villages across Boyo Division. This initiative by the separatist general RK has, however, come under criticism from the public, government, and other education authorities in the region. They have put the quality of education in these schools to question. Afumbom Wain is an educationist in Bamenda.
Such schools are just established to expose the local population to more danger, especially the young ones. In case there is an attack in such an area and these children are in school, what will become of them when there is a crossfire between the armed group and the military? Secondly, looking at the schools, what are they teaching? Because one of the reasons for this Anglophone issue was because of the educational system. Have they developed an educational system that is tied towards their own vision? And what is the type of curriculum are they teaching? What are the subjects are they teaching in these schools?
Boyo, which is 150 kilometers from Bamenda, has been hardest hit by the Anglophone crisis in Cameroon's restive northwest region. Children have not been to school for 3 years, like in other parts of the English-speaking regions. With no hope of the Anglophone crisis ending anytime soon, many still believe children need to be in school, regardless of the learning condition and the environment.
DW's Jean-Marie Ngonso there reporting from the restive northwest region of Cameroon, where children have not been to school for 3 years. And for this novelty, we ask you on Facebook, what do you think about this? Philip Chambers says that, what a shame France and England are destroying the country for their own greed. Cameroon must unite.
I doubt really whether it's France and England. Anyway, it's your opinion, Philip Chambers. Mbakaros Javier says that's what they should have done, only mission and community schools. But how will the exams be done? He wonders.
And 1K Cliff says that are schools more important than the people who are dying in southern Cameroon? It is risky for the children to go to school under this condition. Advocate for war to stop instead.
A good point there from Cliff, advocating for the war to stop. And one here, Soli Makosa says, this war has never been about stopping children from going to school. As the restoration forces have shown, where they have any semblance of control, children are being educated.
And Barry Parfait says that this is a good idea to me. Only community schools should be allowed now in which subjects like history of the Cameroon is temporarily taken to the curriculum in order to not to create a conflict. Separatists in Boyo and Bui have opened schools, according to him.
U-Zone.
Now we are talking something else. The world is a global village with population across the continent daily experiencing similar societal challenges that require urgent solutions. This explains why young entrepreneurs in Africa and Germany are working together to share ideas and build stronger networks for their activities.
They have been meeting in Ghana's capital, Accra, under an Autumn School initiative to learn new ways of working. Isaac Kalechi has been speaking with these young people, and here is his report.
How about you invest to pay 10 programmers and finish it in 1 month? You know, how is it like?
Over 100 young people from Africa and Germany discussing strategies to propel their social intervention ideas. They are being mentored in Accra under a program called Autumn School for Sustainable Entrepreneurship, a program that provides a platform for cross-border exchange of ideas, offering them stronger networks and visibility. Many of the young people are focusing on protecting the environment for sustainability. Augustine Abusia is Ghanaian, living in Germany together with her sister, have just launched a startup that involves recycling plastic waste into building brisk to make housing affordable to Africans. She says her engagement with other entrepreneurs has been helpful.
Some people live with the idea or mentality they will never own their own home, and that's where we want to come in and give them an opportunity. And not just low income, but in general, everyone.
German young entrepreneurs who are also participating in this autumn school program, like Fabian Esket, plans on launching his social intervention business in Africa on creating a depositing system for reusable cups. He says the world needs many young people, irrespective of their nationality or race, to work together to solve the world's problems.
Well, I guess it's our generation that has to solve the world's problems now, because the generations before us had a different focus. They focused a lot on economic growth and all that other stuff, but they kind of missed the point to look at ecological problems. And now it feels like our generation is actually responsible for solving these ecological problems that came up due to what happened before.
Babagidu Oluwashi, who participated in the previous Autumn School initiative in 2017, now runs a clean technology company. The company is also pioneering access to solar-powered cold rooms for local farmers in Nigeria.
When you look at everything around us today, across African countries, as much as there are a lot of challenges, they also present a lot of opportunities.
The program is an initiative of a group called Exchange Global, based in Europe. Caroline Caesar, the program officer, says the hope is that many of the young entrepreneurs could further develop their ideas into viable businesses that do actually solve societal problems.
Well, we would be happy if they applied what they learned on business development so that they can achieve more and also really make sure business can be a force to change societies for the better.
These delegates have unique ideas, and hopefully a few of them should become global solutions to Africa and the world's social problems in the coming years. That is if other young entrepreneurs embrace the idea.
Isaac, I'll let you with that report. That's the end of it. I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And I am Mimi Mefo. Thank you for listening.
DW.
for minds.